This is Dave Kale. Here's a question for you. Should a Christian business help the poor? Now, Christians are expected to be generous to the poor and needy. We got that. The message began in the Old Testament, the commands to the Hebrews, and continued consistently through the Bible to the end of the New Testament. Literally, hundreds of passages promote that message. But is that responsibility to help the poor and needy confined to individuals? Does a Christian business have a responsibility to help poor and needy separate and apart from the individuals who own or run or work in the business? That's the question. So let's examine that issue together. First, a little background. In the Good Book on Business, my most recent book, I uncovered the model for a Christian business. It's called the Biblical Household. Now, the Biblical Household is an economic entity that consisted of family, slaves, servants, and employees under the direction of the head of the household. It has a presence and a position above and beyond the collection of individuals who were employed by it, and it was organized to accomplish some God-given task. In modern-day terms, the Biblical Household is a family business. Business, as manifested through the Biblical Household, had a major role to play from the very beginning of creation through the entire biblical narrative, including the establishment and propagation of the church in the New Testament. Now, most of the biblical businesses were agricultural. Abraham, for example, was a wealthy rancher, growing and selling grain, growing, processing, and selling wine. Raising livestock were common businesses, but not the only ones. Joseph, for example, was involved in food distribution. Bezalel was a custom jeweler. Jesus was a carpenter. Peter had a fishing business. And Paul made tents, just, you know, to name a few. So just like today, there are some things that a business, by virtue of its larger collection of manpower and assets and resources, can do that an individual cannot do. And there are some passages of Scripture regarding the poor that provide directions that can be only accomplished by a business. So let's look at a couple here with the suggestion that here's some biblical precedent on the question of should a business give to the poor. First is Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 10. I'm reading. Likewise, you shall not pick your vineyard bare, nor gather up the grapes that have fallen. These things you shall leave for the poor and the alien. I, the Lord, am your God. Now this part of the law, this is part of the Mosaic law given to Moses, and is directed towards vineyard operations. It's pretty straightforward. At harvest time, leave the fruit that falls on the ground instead of picking it up. The needy and the stranger can then follow your pickers into the vineyard and help themselves to the fallen grapes. All right, here's another one, another part of the law of Moses from Leviticus. This is chapter 23, verse 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not be so thorough that you reap the field to its very edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. These things you shall leave for the poor and the alien. I, the Lord, am your God. Now, this is a very similar concept, but for a different business. So if you're in the business of growing and processing and selling grain, then you leave the corners of the fields unharvested, as well as the gleanings, so that those in need can help themselves to it. Now, these directions are part of the Mosaic law. They're not binding on Christians today. Nevertheless, they express a concept that modern Christian businesses may want to mimic. Here's four principles that I see in these two passages. Number one, the economics of your business should be such that a few percentage points less of raw materials won't make a huge difference in your profit and loss. The grapes and the grain were the raw materials that would be processed into finished products. You ought to be able to absorb a little loss of raw materials. First. Second, The excess, which was made available to the needy, was other raw materials, not the finished goods. Grain was usually threshed and ground. Grapes were pressed and fermented into wine. The finished goods from these operations were flour and wine. Now, the biblical passages do not direct the giving of finished goods, but only of the raw materials. In a sense, the raw materials were God-given without the value-added benefit of human hands. You're making available the portion of the materials God has given to you. Number three, the needy had to harvest the produce themselves. The business owners were not told to harvest and give the produce to the needy, but rather to allow them an opportunity to harvest it themselves. In other words, the needy have to work for it. Now, this tracks neatly with the New Testament. There's an admonition in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and I'm reading now. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. So the net result is to allow the needy an opportunity to work for their own food and not to give it to them. Giving directly of the finished goods would deprive them of their opportunity to work and deprive them of the dignity and positive self-image associated with that. The needy had to be assertive enough to know when the time, and here's number four, principle number four. The needy had to be assertive enough to know when their timing is right to make their own harvest. Fallen grapes are not going to last more than a day or two. Grain left in the fields will not have an unlimited lifespan. So the needy had to be aware and ready to implement when the timing was right. Direction to the business owners is to make it available. Why the needy need to be aware of when that happens and harvest it themselves. So I'm thinking about some modern applications, and here's how I'm thinking. Here's some suggestions for business owners wanting to incorporate these principles into their businesses. For service professionals, you know, like CPAs and consultants and doctors and lawyers, your commodity is time and expertise. So consider giving a certain small percentage of your time pro bono. You know, that means without cost, to people who come to you with needs you can fill but who are unable to pay the full fee. If you're a manufacturer, consider dedicating a certain number of jobs within the plant to people who are otherwise unemployable. One of my clients has a contract with a local nonprofit agency, for example, that supplies disabled workers. So think about also giving excess raw materials or maybe even overruns of finished goods to a nonprofit dedicated to creating employment for difficult to employ people. What can someone do or build or use to create something? Use your materials, your raw materials, to create something. A little bit of creative thinking might surface something. Distributors, consider creative uses for obsolete inventories. Is there any way someone could use some of this that you're going to give away or throw away to use some of this to create something, to build something, to create a job in so doing? Restaurants, take a little time to examine your procedures regarding excess food that you might normally have thrown away. Is there a way to get this into the hands of people who need it? Regardless of your type of business, you could probably come up with some creative ways to impact the needy in your community. Be guided by the principles. Dedicating a small portion to the needy, providing an opportunity for them to work to those who are assertive enough to look for it. If you have some additional ideas, I'd love to hear from. Just comment on, share them in the comments. Okay? That's it. Bye-bye.